Thank you. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Isaiah, now in the 62nd chapter of the book of Isaiah. We'll be dealing with the entire chapter, but we're going to begin in the beginning. Verse 1. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a lamp that burns. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness, and all kings, your glory. You shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. You shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we ask that you would take now your word, that you would, Father, penetrate our hearts and you would draw us to Jesus. Father, let us know you more closely than we ever have. Let us put our faith in you and let us walk with you. Father, thank you for this day. Move within us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you ever need a reminder? Do you ever have to make notes for yourself or do something to kind of stir your memory? There are people that do all kinds of things. They take cell phones, put reminders on the cell phone. Cell phones will ring. They will vibrate. They will flash at you. And you can ignore them all. They will pop up with messages to let you know you just had an appointment 15 minutes ago. There is another thing you can do. It's an old school trick, and I really like it a lot. Ask someone to remind you. Now, this is good on so many levels, but my favorite is this. If I forget something that I have asked someone to remind me of, and they didn't, I can blame them. I've showed my thoughts of the thing being important because I asked somebody to remind me, and they just messed up. Well, you may use every method possible for a reminder. You may even tie a string around your finger. By the way, that will not work. You may cut off your circulation, and if not that, you'll forget what the string is for. You put the reminders on your phone. You even take out a calendar, a paper calendar, and put something on it. You will never look at that. You put post-it notes everywhere. And you may still forget. The 62nd chapter of Isaiah is said to be one of the most difficult chapters of the Old Testament. There are two main issues that comes forth. The first problem comes as to who is speaking. Now, we know this is God's word, and we know this is Isaiah writing, and so you may immediately think Isaiah is speaking, but it is not. In this passage, the prophet is not just relaying God's word. In this passage, the Father God has stepped in to voice his own word. Now, I know all the Bible is God's word, but this is actually the voice of God and not God speaking through a man. And when you get that, it's okay and you follow along and it's really good till you get to verses 6 and 7. In verses 6 and 7, we have God making it clear that he has posted watchmen on the wall. And those watchmen that he has put on the wall are there for many reasons. They're there for protection. They're there for information. But God has put the watchmen on the wall to remind him of the promises he has made to Israel. Now, God is all-knowing. That term, omniscient. He knows everything all the time. You can't tell God something he does not know. God has all wisdom. He contains it all. He knows all things at all times, at any time. So why would God have to have someone reminding him of a promise all the time. These watchmen have a specific duty. They're to remind God of the promises he has made to his people. How can an omniscient God need reminding? He really doesn't. You see, God has put these watchmen on the wall, not necessarily for him to be reminded, but for the Israelites to know that he is being reminded. For them to have something going on constantly that reminds them that he's being reminded and that he won't forget. Sometimes when things get bad, we need reminders to tell us God hasn't forgotten us. And so Israel had lost it all. They had been driven from their home into captivity. They are out of Jerusalem. They needed to believe in God. They needed to believe God was not forgetting them, that God would keep his promises. God had promised to restore Jerusalem. Would he do it? They're there in chains. They're there in bondage. And God gives them the knowledge that there are watchmen on the wall. God says that he will not forget, but just so you'll know he won't forget, I've got people crying out all the time, reminding me of what I won't forget anyway. So God didn't put the watchman on the wall because he was getting old and couldn't remember. He sets the watchman on the wall as a hope, so Israel could know they could hope in God. So Israel would know that God was going to do what God said he would do. The fact that God put these watchmen there meant that God was totally committed to carrying out his will, and he would fulfill every promise he made. In fact, let me tell you, you are able to trust God in everything. There is no need to doubt him. There is no need to think he has forgotten you. He has never forgotten anything. But he has posted watchmen to remind him so that you'll know he's being reminded he will never forget. In this passage, we find God's resolve in 62 verse 1. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a lamp that burns. One of the great things that you can base your life on is the fact that our God knows what we need. He knows what needs to be done, and he will not stop until he carries out his will to accomplish what is best for us. God is not a quitter. God will carry out his will. He in truth will secure salvation for everyone who will believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. He indeed would secure Jerusalem and one day the hope that Israel would stand in Jerusalem, and Jerusalem would be the place of ruling and it would be the place of peace. God is going to carry out his word and his will. Jerusalem one day would be the city of faith, a city where all those who cried out to God would be heard. The Jews turned their backs on God. They turned their backs on God's purpose. At several points, they started worshiping false idols. Certainly, God can't put up with that. They disobeyed to the point God had to discipline them and allow ungodly people to come in and take them captivity. Yet God had made promises. God promised a special land for the Jews. He promised them that he would come one day and all the nations would look to Israel. they would look to Jerusalem because the Messiah would sit and rule in Jerusalem. Now, that is what God foretells in Scripture, and may I tell you, that is what God will carry out in person. They would look to Jerusalem because the Messiah would be there, and he would rule everything from that high place. This will be the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ. After the tribulation, Jesus will rule for 1,000 years here on the earth, and he will do it from Jerusalem. The Jews disobeyed. The Jews rebelled against God. They did not deserve the blessings of God, but God does not go back on his word. Just because they disobeyed did not mean God would go back on his word. That's how you think sometimes, isn't it? You think you've messed up and God's just not going to keep his word to you because you messed up. You messed up, you don't deserve his forgiveness. You know you don't deserve his heaven. And so you doubt the hope that God has put in your life through Jesus. Well, I'm telling you, he is not you. God acts like God all the time, and he keeps his word. Think of it. They ended up in Egypt under a strong Pharaoh. But God did not forget them. He sent them Moses and led them out of Egypt across dry land when they crossed the Red Sea. He carried them through conflict after conflict. He took them so that Moses could ascend and get the Ten Commandments. And while Moses was getting the Ten Commandments, what did old faithful Israel do? Well, they built a golden bull and started worshiping it. God was merciful. I'd have zapped those people into a non-existence. I am glad I am not God. God was merciful. He led them from victory to victory until they possessed the Holy Land. He gave them Jerusalem. And yet they turned from God again and again. And so vile was their turning from God, they were carried into captivity. They were always disobeying God. But in the midst of a host of people that disobeyed God, there were a few that remained faithful. There were some called a remnant that held to God. And because that remnant held to God, because that remnant prayed to God, because that remnant hoped in God, God kept telling them, I'll come through. Now they're captives down in Babylon, and God's sending his word. You know, people laughed at them when they spoke of trusting God. But God was there all the time. He promised to restore them. And as God had not turned his back on Israel, he will not turn his back on Israel. As God has held true to his promises for Israel, God holds true to his promises to everyone who looks to him in faith. Numbers 23:19. You may want to write that verse down somewhere. It is a great verse to keep in mind. When you think God is going to act like you, when you think God won't keep his word because you haven't kept your word, Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken and shall he not make it good? As a Jew can look to God in faith and know that one day God will rule from Jerusalem, a Christian can look to God and know that God will accomplish our salvation. In fact, he already has. Before the foundation of the world, God knew that his creation would disobey him. God knew that we would need a Savior, and God decided that he himself would provide that Savior. He would provide the sacrifice for your sin and my sin. The thought that his own creation would turn away from him should be unthinkable. But knowing it did not make God quit. John 3:16 is real. For God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him might not perish, but might have everlasting life. God would offer his own Son. He would make a way for our salvation. He would pay the dearest price that he had. And so Jesus left heaven's throne. He came to a manger. He grew in stature and wisdom. How was he received? He was despised and rejected of men. But God didn't quit. Jesus was betrayed. He was falsely accused, falsely tried, and he was placed by nails on a cruel cross. But God did not quit. He hung there when all he had to do was cry out for angels and they would have come in host and saved the day. But he did not cry out because God would not quit. He died on that cross for your sins and mine, for nothing he's done. He was placed in a tomb, and now in that tomb, man has done his worst. Certainly God will say that's enough. But my friend, God did not quit. Jesus came up from the grave, alive forevermore, proving that everybody that puts their trust in him has hope of an eternal life that goes through the grave, that will never fail, because God does not quit. He keeps his word. Now God is resolved to save all who will come to Jesus. Believers, we share in the promises that God reveals in this chapter. You may have bad times. You may mess up at times. Well, let's be honest. We do mess up at times. But we who believe in Jesus will one day shine in glory. We will have a new name. A name known by God. Every child of God will be a crown. Now, I've heard people talking about getting crowns. That's not what this says. It says we will be a crown. We will be glorious. We will reflect light. We will show forth the majesty and glory of God. And we will be a crown in glory in the hand of God. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride. Now, some of you guys have been married for a long time, but let me take you back to that wedding day. I know you don't remember, but let me take you back to that wedding day. Your wife will fill you in about it. She knows all about it. So that wedding day when you saw her, and you saw her for the first time, and maybe it was a time when she was coming down the aisle. There was some man probably in the way, her father, somebody, anyway. But she was there. Oh, how glorious, how beautiful, how wonderful she looked. And she's marrying you? How unthinkable. And how great. As the husband rejoices in his bride, God rejoices over Israel, and God will rejoice over each soul that comes to Jesus for salvation. God holds you as special. God holds you as prized. God holds you as the apple of his eye. God is resolved to keep all of his promises to Israel, and my friend, God will keep all his promises to you. Everyone. Well, you know what you need to do? You need to start digging in on the promises. Getting in God's word, finding out what those promises are. Seeing what God is going to bring into your life. If you are saved, one day you will have glory. God is resolved. Then we see God's reminders. Verse 6, I have set watchmen upon the walls, O Jerusalem, who shall never hold their peace day nor night. You that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. God is saying, I'm not going to forget my promises. I'm going to hold my word. And so you'll be at peace in knowing that. I will put watchmen on the wall, and they will sound reminders. Watchmen, the Hebrew shar mar. They were there to exercise great care, to guard over the city, to watch over the city. They would give important information, and they would sound warnings. They were there to let you know you are protected and you are cared for. Today, I believe God needs watchmen to cry out for the Lord. I believe those watchmen are in these seats today. I believe God has called forth Christians to pray and talk to God and cry out to God for salvation to come to a lost world. We need people who will stand up and actually put prayer into action. Today we need believers who will become prayer warriors. Great preacher Jess Henley was asked what the worst sin in the world today was. Oh, there's so many of them. What are you going to pick? He didn't say murder. He didn't say adultery. He didn't say rape. He didn't say theft. This great man of God said the greatest sin in the world today is prayerlessness. God's children not crying out to God. In other words, God's watchmen, his children, not talking to him and crying out to him for him to act. There's no doubt that God has commanded us to pray. The absence of prayer is leaving believers and churches to satanic attack. It's leaving families to fall apart. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. How's your prayer life? Verse 7 says, give him, that is God, no rest. Give God no rest. What is that saying? We should be talking to God all the time. There's no time for him to lay down, no time for him to go to sleep, because the prayer of his children is covering heaven. That's what God wants from us. He wants to hear from us. You know, Father's Day is coming, and you know what? Dads like to hear from their children. Especially when they're not asking for anything. Moms like to hear from their children. God likes to hear from his children, even when they're asking. We're not to pray aimlessly. Verse 7 says, give God no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. What does that mean? It means pray it through until you see it happen. We need to start praying through till we see it happen. Not without thought. We should pray deliberately. We should be on our knees before God. We should be crying out to God. We should be watchmen for God, praying God's promises. Get God's word and pray God's word back to him. You know it's his will. God will answer any prayer made in his will. That's how you can know you get your prayers answered. We need to get a hold of a promise of God and not let it go and carry it to the throne room of God until we see it come to vision. A survey said that church leaders, take your Sunday school teachers, your deacons, your preachers, your ministers of music, everybody else. Church leaders, on average, pray less than 3 minutes a day. No wonder we're weak. If that is true, no wonder that we're seeing such destruction in our nation. No wonder we're losing this generation. When Jesus cleansed the temple, this is what he said. He went into the temple. He began to drive out those that bought and sold there, saying to them, "It is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." God has put us here in Columbus, Georgia, to win Columbus, Georgia to Jesus. Nothing less. Every soul coming to Jesus. That is our charge. That is our job. And that is just part of our job. Then we need to branch out. Well, we might as well take Phoenix City in with our Columbus, Georgia, because part of you live there, and we're supposed to reach where we are, and so we're supposed to reach that area too. Oh, yeah, you Harris County people, we can't leave you out because we got to reach you up there too. And then we got people that are on post, all those Fort Benning people. We need to reach them there too. That's just our home area, and we need to be carrying them to God, and the very start of that is praying for people to be saved. God has put us here for a purpose, and we are not even praying to see the purpose fulfilled. We sin when we fail to pray. God says, "Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you." Northside Baptist Church needs people who will commit themselves to reminding God of his promises and carrying loss to him that they might get the gospel and that they might come to him. We are looking forward to Vacation Bible School. My goodness, one of our greatest outreach weeks. We have had more work go on for this Vacation Bible School than any in my memory. So much work has been put in, but listen, the job still has to be done. And one of the main things we need you to do is pray. You need to be praying for people to come. You need to be praying for those families where the children are lost and don't have any gospel influence, that they would come, that their parents would bring them. Maybe their parents will bring them so they'll have a time away from them. That's okay. We just want them to bring them. And we want to touch those families too. We need you who call yourselves Northside Baptists to pray for the church, to pray for your pastor and staff, to pray for our church families, to pray for the lost in our families because we have family members that don't know Jesus, to pray for our neighborhoods, to pray for those that we go to school with, to pray for those we work with, to pray for those we play with, to be praying and lifting them to God that they might be convicted and that they might come to salvation. Where are our watchmen? And I want to just read as clear as I can be. We will end this service, and when we end this service, I am asking believers, if you know Jesus as your Savior, I am asking you to get out of those seats, to actually walk down to the front, or in the aisles of the front is covered, and to pray for God to do a work that you have not seen before. Pray for God to use Vacation Bible School to reach our community as never before. If we will not call out to God, who will? This is our time to pray until God reveals his glory. And then we see God's results. In verse 11, "Behold, the Lord has proclaimed unto the end of the earth, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him. They shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you shall be called, sought out, a city not forsaken." You can rest in this truth. Our salvation comes. If you got Jesus as your Savior, our salvation comes. We may see him in the eastern sky. We will rise to meet him because our salvation comes. We may go to the grave, but that's okay. We go through the grave and to glory because our salvation comes. God says that we should cry out to him and we should trust him and we should know that Jesus has paid for our salvation, and because he has secured it, it will come. Think of the day. Think of the day we'll walk down golden streets of glory. Think of the day. Think of the day that we will not have an ache or a pain. I don't know. Some of you are young. You may not be there yet. Wait a little while. Aches and pains will show up. If they haven't showed up for you, you may be too far gone to know they're there. But in that day, they will be gone. We will not be there in our sins. We will not be there regretting what we have done, because all of our sin will be wiped away. They are under the blood of Jesus. We are totally forgiven. How do I know? Jesus said so. He took them away when he died on Calvary, and we bear them no more. By God's grace, to God's glory, we will be called. Verse 12, God's holy people. Wow, what a name. God's holy people. Well, we look at each other and we don't maybe look like God's holy people. But maybe we should start claiming it. Maybe we should start walking more like God's holy people. No matter how dark it may look, the day is coming. A time when all will know we've not been forsaken. There will be a day Jesus will reign in Jerusalem, and those of us who know him will come and reign with him. Praise the Lord. You can just count it. It's in the bank. It is real. It will take place. God will keep his promises. He has promised to save every person who comes to him in faith through Jesus Christ. And that's you. If you have never invited Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, that is really why you're here today. And in just a few moments, we'll have an opportunity for you just to walk forward and say that you want Jesus. Jesus died on a cross for you. He was buried for you. He rose again for you. He brought you to Northside Baptist Church to hear the gospel so that you can come and know him as your Savior. And he will never forget you when you come to him. And I pray that you will do that this very day, that you'll accept the promise of salvation that God offers. All you have to do is say yes to Jesus. He will forgive. He will save. Oh, you don't know what I've done. You don't have to tell me. It's all under the blood when you get Jesus. Just come to Jesus. And believer, it's time. It's time that we do what we can do. What can you do? Well, I'm not a teacher. Okay, what can you do? Well, I'm not a singer. Okay, what can you do? I'll tell you what you can do. You can pray. You will be amazed how God opens up your life when you just start laying things before him, asking him to use you in the lives of others, asking him to use our church in the lives of others, asking him to win this city, asking him to touch lives, asking him to make a change. God will answer prayer when we pray. And so, again, we're going to pray. And after our time of prayer, I'm going to ask you as a believer to come forward and commit your... You don't say a thing to me. You don't have to talk to me. I'm going to ask you to come forward and to pray that God would forgive you, that God would cleanse you, that God would use you. and that God would do a miracle this week in young lives at our VBS. You have that opportunity. Today's the day to pray. Now, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I'll be standing here. Just come to me. T.O. will be here. Just come to him. We'll pray together. Jesus will come into your heart this very day. And let me tell you, he will keep his promises. When he saves you, you'll be saved forever. And one day you will be a crown of glory. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I ask you to move in our church. I ask you to move in our hearts, that we will not take things lightly, that we will make a move, actual move physically, but a move of prayer to make a difference in our lives, in our church, in our city. Father, in the young lives that we will see at Bible school, Lord, I pray that you would move in our hearts. Father, there are some here that do not know Jesus. And Lord, you brought them here today that they might know that Jesus can save their soul. Let them be willing to say yes to you, just to walk down an aisle and say, I want Jesus. Father, move in our hearts. Draw us close to you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You come. Start coming now as we sing.